Good morning. Welcome to Fellowship of Huntsville Church. We need to make a few more seats because we have some people maybe in the back, I'm not sure, but if you've got seats between you and someone next to you, if you could scoot over and make some seats available. We have some in the front up here, a little bit on this side, a little bit in the middle up here in the front if you need a seat to sit at. It's great to see everyone, and what a wonderful time of the year. We're getting into the fall, and I can't mention that enough. Just love that season, and we get out of the heat and into the cool. That hasn't happened quite yet, but we're getting there, all right? If you're visiting with us this morning, we'd love to hear from you. There should be a card underneath the seat in front of you called the connection card. You can use that to fill out, and you can do it electronically. Let us know who you are. You can put in prayer requests or anything about the ministry. Make contact with someone to reach back out to you. You can drop it in the box in the back, which is between the two doors. You can do it electronically. Those options are there for you. I'm going to be reading the scripture. If you would turn to John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. CF's been going through the book of John, and all the chapters of John are great, but especially chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32. If you would turn with me to that. Verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word and its truth. Lord, I pray that we will dive into it every day. Lord, I pray that your spirit will speak to us this morning. I pray that you'll use the words of CF. I pray for the words of your written word just to come to life in all that we do, or that we will be sold out for being lights in this world. And we say this in your name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. You'll turn to that passage that he just read, which is John, the 8th chapter, and verses 31 and 32. That's our text for today. You're visiting with us. We're glad to have you here. And we are doing a study through the Gospel of John, and it has brought us now to this 31st and 32nd verse of the 8th chapter. We're going to take a look at it today and see what true freedom is. And Jesus sets it before those people that are there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin, okay? Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace in our life, all the many blessings we have. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here today and pray for your divine guidance and insight. Pray that you grant us understanding. And Father, wherever the people before me are in their personal life, you're aware of that. And I just pray that you would take the word that they hear and that you would make application to their individual lives. And Lord, that they would get comprehension of that and yield themselves to you, and that you'd do a work in our heart and life for your glory and honor. And so, Lord, we ask this of you in Christ's name. Amen. You look here at this chapter. Jesus, at the Feast of the Tabernacles, been interacting with them, and he's made two bold claims. One, "I'm the light of the world. And if anyone thirsts, needs something to drink, come to me. I'm the living water." So he's made two claims, which are in essence fulfillment of Old Testament types that point to him. And so he comes to this part here, and we concluded last week in that verse 30. And verse 30 said, "And he spoke these words," or "as he spoke these words, many believed in him." All right? So many people believed in him. And then he launches off in verse 31. He says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my words, you're my disciples indeed.'" So he's going to get in on the subject of discipleship. Where this passage here tends to create problems is that many people consistently take this passage of scripture where he talks about disciples and makes disciples synonymous with being a believer, okay? And so the only places that the word disciple is used in the New Testament is in the Gospels and the book of Acts, all right? There's only two places it's used. It's used there primarily because Jesus' earthly ministry, people followed him and were learning from him. So to define the word disciple, we're going to take a look at it. The word that is used here, for example, is the word manthano, and we're going to pop it up on the screen. That word means disciple. There are different tenses of the word, usage of the word. Mathetes is the word that's actually used here, but it's a form of this word here, which defines the word disciple. So what is a disciple? It means to learn from another, okay? By instruction, it also means to inquire for learning and observation, an achievement or an adherent to a teacher, someone that clings to a teacher. The significant thing about the definition of this word is that it has no spiritual reference, okay? In other words, disciple is not unique to the Bible, all right? For example, in the days of Jesus, there were disciples of Plato or other philosophers that had lived and men that had been around during that time. You can see also in the life of John the Baptist, for example, they make reference to the disciples of John. And what it's saying simply is that they are followers of that teacher or learners from that teacher. And they learn primarily two ways. They learn from instruction, but they also learn through observation. Gandhi, when he was walking the earth, many people claimed to be disciples of Gandhi. Okay, so the word disciple does not have a spiritual reference to it. But many times what people do when they get to the New Testament and they see disciples, they say that, and they'll say a disciple is a true believer, is what they'll say. A disciple is one that truly believed in Jesus. Well, the problem with that is that the word, even in the Bible, is used for people that aren't believers, all right? Look with me, if you would, at John 12, John chapter 12, and if you'll look at verse 4, you'll see there it says in John 12, 4, then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? I think every one of us in here would agree Judas was not a disciple in the sense of believing. He was an unbeliever. He was referred to as the son of perdition, for example. But I can show you another passage, if you go to John chapter 2, that will make it very clear that not all disciples are believers. All right, go to John chapter 2, verse 11. John 2:11 says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So you see here, they were called disciples before they had believed in him. So what I'm saying is, not all disciples are believers, all right? And not all believers, in essence, are disciples. Okay, so you can have it. You can have it both ways. Where you run into a problem is, in this text, for example, people will say, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and a disciple equals a believer. Therefore, if you don't abide in the word, you're not really a believer. That's where the logical argument goes to. But if you understand it from the standpoint that a believer can be a disciple, And a person can be a disciple and not be a believer, such as John 2:11, where it says the disciples believed in him. So their belief came after being a disciple. A disciple is simply one that learns. Because what happens when people come to this passage, they'll say in verse 30, and he spoke these words and many believed in him. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide my word, you're my disciples indeed. Because they build the argument, they say those people didn't have real faith. They didn't have genuine faith. How did they not have genuine faith? They didn't really follow him all the way. And he's telling them, if you've got to abide my word. So what happens if you make that equation that all disciples are believers, then you've got to go with what Jesus defines as a disciple also. And what does he define them as? Well, he puts a lot of requirements on disciples. Go to Mark chapter 8. Look at Mark chapter 8. If you look in this eighth chapter, and if you look at verse 34, he says, and when he had called the people to him with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. A lot of people will tell you that in order to truly believe in Jesus Christ, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. And so it's not, as Gospel of John says, believe. 99 times in the Gospel of John, it says believe. Belief or trust, okay, is what it says. Look at Luke 14. Let's take that passage in consideration. Luke chapter 14. And if you look at Luke 14 and put your attention on verse 25, it says, and great multitudes went with him. And he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. If you equate disciple with believer, then you also have to say that to truly be saved, a person has to deny himself, take up his cross, follow after Jesus, hate his mother, hate his father, hate his brother, hate his sister. And you have to add a lot of things to it, whereas the Bible defines true believers as, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Okay? That verse would be incomplete because you'd have to add these other requirements on it. So when he uses the word disciple, he's simply talking about those that followed him. Now understand this, true faith in Christ is going to produce within the person the desire to follow the Lord. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that in every case, you don't have to go through these steps in order to be believers. Because if a disciple equals believers, there's more to it than just believing. All right? And I believe that the Bible teaches us that you're saved by grace. Look in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And look at I want to focus your attention on verse 23, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So he makes it very clear there that you're justified by his grace. You're not justified by what you do. You're not justified by your faithfulness. You're not justified by your consistency. However, the Bible is also very clear that believers will have works in their life. And I understand that. What I'm trying to show you is that not in every case where the word disciple is used does it mean a believer. Because he says very clearly earlier that to his disciples he spoke and many believed in his name. So they were disciples before they were believers. All right? And so what Jesus is saying in this passage is he's speaking to the people that actually are following him, that are actually adhering to his instructions. And the only place you see disciples used, as I stated earlier, is in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, not used in the rest of the Bible. The epistles refer to believers. The Gospels and Acts refer to disciples, but it doesn't equate all disciples as being believers, okay? And so look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and look at verse 12. But as many as received him, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So you could argue receiving Christ is synonymous, is synonymous with believing in his name. We can all agree on that. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So believers are those people that have believed in Jesus, trusted in Christ. John 3:16, passage there says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is the condition there is given? It's believing in him. And as I said before, 99 times in the Gospel of John, it's believing. It's believing. So when he speaks to these people here and he says this, you shall know the truth. Well, I'm wrong verse. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. What does abide mean? Let's deal with that, okay? The word abide is a very common word in the Gospel of John. Matter of fact, when we get to the 15th chapter, it's an extended section on what it means to abide. The word abide is the word meno. And meno means to remain. Okay? So when he talks about abiding in Scripture, you've got to understand that the Bible refers to us in two primary relationships with God. One relationship is our position in Christ, our secure relationship with God. That is, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are placed in Christ. And all through the epistles, especially in the book of Ephesians, Paul says over and over, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Everything that we have is in Christ. Speaking of our position is our eternal relationship with God. But while we have this eternal relationship, we also have a relationship that's lived out in time. And that relationship that's lived out in time is we're filled with the Spirit, or we're walking in the Spirit, okay? And we're producing the fruit of the Spirit. But we also have over 600 imperatives in Scripture that tell us that we are to abide, that we are to be filled with the Spirit, that we are to walk in faith, that we are to trust in the Word, various nuances of that. So it's very clear to me that you can be a believer and yet, as a believer, not always be faithful. Now, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we'll say this. There have been times in my life that I have not been faithful to Christ as a believer. Outbursts of wrath, envy, jealousy, lust, different things like that. When you're doing that stuff, you notice I said you, when you're doing that, and when we're doing that stuff, we're not abiding in time. We're in the flesh. When we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We move back into the Spirit. And so when we submit ourselves to the Word of God, we're going to remain and walk in Christ. When we submit to the flesh, we're going to walk in the flesh. And the Bible speaks of that many, all through the New Testament epistles. So when He says abide, He's not talking about your position. He's talking about your condition. Remain walking in Christ, living in Him. In this case, He says, if you abide in my word. In other words, when you abide in the word, you're a disciple indeed. What is a disciple? A follower. When you're abiding in the word, you are following Christ. Does that make sense to you? You're following Christ. And there's a benefit to that too. He says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, this verse here, verse 32, is one of those verses of scripture that I have in my little category in my own mind, one of the most misquoted scriptures in all the Bible. And it is, because this is how it's quoted. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Matter of fact, you can go to the library at Texas A&M, you go to the library at University of Texas, and one at A&M, the old library, that place is so modernized now, I don't even know where the library is, but over the old library there, it had a sign that says, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. That's the same thing at Texas. All right? But that verse doesn't start with that. What does that verse start with? Verse starts with and. And is a conjunction. Now, I'm sorry about that because I know some of you are having English flashbacks tuning me out, so let me rephrase it like this. And joins us to the previous sentence. And what does he say? If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So it begins like this. You abide in his word, and in that process of abiding, you will know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. You know what he's speaking of here? He's speaking of this, that if you abide in the Word of God, you're going to grow in your understanding of God and of the Word. What does it mean to be free? Well, think, who is he talking to here? He's talking to people that are caught up in a false religious system that was concocted by the religious leaders of their day. They had taken the Word of God and transformed the Word of God to such an extent, Jesus said, you've substituted the Word of God with the commandments of men. They had developed a religious, legalistic religious system that put people in religious bondage. Okay? So as he speaks to them, what he in essence is telling them is abide in my word, not the word of your religious leaders. Abide in my word. And as you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. It's going to set you free from your religious bondage. Immediate context. Applicational context is, as Christians, as we abide in the word, we are disciples indeed, and we're going to know more truth and more truth. And as we know more truth and more truth, we're going to become more free. We're going to understand more and better of who we are in Christ and what our relationship with Christ is. So what he is telling them is, abide in my word and my word in you, and you're going to be transformed. Look at Romans 12, 2. We'll look at 1, too. Look at Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1, Paul tells the church at Rome, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. So he's talking to believers. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How is your life transformed? Your life is transformed as it gets renewed. Okay? How does it get renewed? It gets renewed as you abide in the Word. And as you abide in the Word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So as you abide in the Word of God, what God does is He gradually begins to reveal more and more to you. That's the whole point of the Christian life. When I first got saved and came to faith in Christ and was justified by faith, I didn't automatically have all the subsets of the Christian life active within me. And neither did you. But as you study the Word of God, you begin to grow. And as you begin to grow, it creates within you the desire to want to study more. And you start seeing this transformation process take place. Why? Because you are learning truth. And the only way to learn the truth of God is by remaining in Him and walking by faith and intaking that Word of God routinely. Look over at 1 Peter. I'm going to show you a passage in 1 Peter also. Parallels this one. 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2 says, therefore. Oh, that means something comes before it. Because what is it there for? Well, look at verse 23. Having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. So what's he talking about? Transformation. Knowing the truth. And knowing the truth does what? Set you free. Set you free from the bondage of not only in the context of this passage, false religious teachers, it's also going to set you free from the bondage of your own mind. Because your own flesh will put you into bondage through things such as lust. We have desires for things we shouldn't have. Anger. All the mental attitude sins that we wrestle with in life can put us into bondage. But when we abide in the Word of God, we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. He's telling them. He's telling these religious people, stop listening to these false teachers. Start abiding my word. And as you do, you're going to know the truth. What truth do they need to know? Who Christ is, number one. Because they've been given a distorted image. What do the religious leaders say? You're a devil. You don't know what you're talking about. You didn't come from God. You're illegitimate. They're throwing all this stuff out. And all Jesus is telling these people, abide my word, and you will know the truth. And as you abide in my word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to make you free. It's going to set you free from this bondage. But the applicational truth is true for us. As you and I abide in the word of God, you will know the truth of God. And as you know the truth of God, you will become more and more free in your life. Because you grow in your understanding and in your knowledge of who God is. What is truth? The word for truth is aletheia. Aletheia comes from the word lanthano. And lanthano means to be hidden. But with an alpha privative in front of it, a lanthano or aletheo, it means not hidden. The truth is not hidden. Truth is something that's put out in the open there for you to see. So he says, as you know the truth, as it's revealed to you, You're going to know more truth and more truth, and you're going to become free in what you do in life. You're going to grow in your relationship with God. And as you grow in your relationship with God, you become freer and freer. Know what else he says in this passage. He says in that 32nd verse, and you shall know the truth. That's future tense. So he's saying, abide in my word, and as you abide in my word, you're going to know the truth. And as you know the truth, it's going to set you free. Because see, folks, in a Christian life, if you take a group of believers, all are believers, okay, in that group. We got a composite group of believers. But not all believers have the same level of freedom as other believers. That makes sense to you. And we all know that. There are some believers that never really grow in their faith. Why? They don't abide in the Word. And because they don't abide in the Word, they don't know the truth. And because they don't know the truth, they don't have the freedom that God gives them in a relationship with Christ. And so it's an exhortation for people to abide in Christ's Word. And as you abide in His Word, you'll know the truth. And as you know the truth, you become more and more free. It's a simple passage on growth in the Christian life. How do you grow in a Christian life? By abiding in the Word. And as you abide in the Word, you'll know the truth. And as you know the truth, what'll happen? You'll become free. Not talking about physical freedom, talking about spiritual freedom. Because the Word is spiritual. And you're going to become freer and freer and freer. If you want to see transformation in your life, the way you see transformation in your life is by abiding in the Word of God. And as you abide in that Word of God, you apply that Word of God and you'll know the truth. And as you apply more, you'll know more truth. It's a building block is what it is. It's a process. And that's what the Christian growth life is about. Being a disciple indeed means clinging to Christ and learning more about Him day by day by day. Because it's not going to come automatic. And if you're frustrated with your Christian life, I can tell you several things. Abide in His Word. And as you abide in His Word, you will know the truth. And as you know the truth is going to set you free. There's no quick fix to it. And we live in a day and age where we want it quick. We want it now. We want it done. Christian life doesn't work like that. You've got to hear the Word of God. You've got to receive the Word of God. You've got to apply faith to the Word of God in your day-to-day walk. And as you do that, God reveals more truth to you. It's a growth process. You just continue to grow, continue to grow. I always make it similar to lifting weights. You want to press, everyone uses 300 as a benchmark on bench press, for example. You want to get to 300-pound bench press, you don't start with 300 pounds. You start with a bar. And then once you get to where you can press that bar, you put a cookie on there, right? Or as my son said, a chocolate chip. That was a 2.5-pounder. We put chocolate chip on there. A cookie is a 5-pounder. And then you put a 10-pounder on there. Then you go from the 10-pounder to a cookie and a chip. 15 pounds on each side. Then you move from there to 25. And you just keep moving up. See, it's a process of growth. You keep strengthening those muscles, you get stronger, 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 stronger. And the same thing's true in a Christian life. You begin with the basics. But in order to grow, you've got to be consistent in that application. Abiding in the Word, and as you abide in the Word, you'll know the truth. And as you know the truth will set you free. True freedom is found in the person of Christ. And it's found when we abide in Him. And as disciples, God calls us to abide. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, my encouragement for you today is become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Get into His Word, follow His Word, and be faithful to His Word, and you will become freer in your life. You'll find out as you abide in the Word abides in you, and you know the truth, and the truth sets you free. The more you progress down that road, the stronger you get, the more free you get, the more enjoyable life becomes. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that you are faithful to us. And my prayer is, Lord, that we would be faithful to your word, that we would abide in your word, and we would be disciples indeed, that we would follow you by faith in all that we do. Thank you, Father, for all that you've given us in Christ. My prayer is, Father, if there's one here today who's never trusted Christ, that they would look to him by faith today, that they would believe in him, that he is the only way to you, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father except through him. Look to Christ today. That's my prayer, Lord. We thank you for all you've done for us and for all your many blessings. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.